'Tis the season for a local hero spotlight with Jacob Nelson of CESA, the local hero, folks, and Missy Lieb of Ioka Valley Farm in Hancock, where we're going to talk about cut your own Christmas trees. Ooh. Khalees, do you have a Christmas tree tradition?
I don't. Not since becoming like an actual adult have we had one in my house, but my family always puts a beer in the tree because of the song.
Ah, and a beer.
In a tree.
4 pounds of back bacon. 3 French toasts. 2 turtlenecks. And a beer in a tree.
Oh, yeah, I remember that song. We usually do ours on the weekend of the Hot Chocolate Run for Safe Passage, which is this weekend. But because we had a kid in college who was not going to be around for that weekend, we did it early, so our Christmas tree is already up. Missy, tell us about your Christmas tree farm in Hancock.
We sell cut-your-own and fresh-cut Christmas trees here over at the Ioka Valley Farm. We've been selling them since 1994. And this weekend, we've had one of our customers who have come every single year since we've opened. We do annual Ioka decoration to go with each tree. And they were able to look on the board and confirm they had every single one still. They hadn't lost a one of them.
Oh, my goodness. That's great. What was the first decoration? And what is the most current decoration?
So the first decoration, of course, was a cow. Because we were still milking cows at the time. So the Holstein cow was the very first ornament that went out. And this year, I'm not sure if I should share what the handmade ornament was, because that's kind of a surprise for those who come. They will try to have a bet on what it is before they arrive and see which family member guessed correctly.
I admire you leaving the magic.
So last year was a tractor decoration that was actually styled and formatted from one of our tractors here at the farm. That's a very sentimental tractor to us. So we try to make it personal. We try to keep it farm related and, of course, Christmas related.
Well, that goes out my question of asking if you've gotten a pickle yet.
We don't. We've never done an Ioka Valley Farm pickle, but yes, the pickle tradition has been celebrated here for many years. Yes.
Tell us about the pickle tradition, because I don't really know that much about it.
So there is a pickle ornament, and with it usually comes with the little card and instructions that you, whoever is the master decorator, hides the pickle. So the first person to find the pickle gets a little special gift that goes with the pickle gift.
It took everything in my power not to comment on that particular tradition. We are speaking with Missy Lieb of Ioka Valley Farm in Hancock about their cut-your-own Christmas trees. And you mentioned briefly your farm history, where you were milking at the beginning when you were doing these, the first year of Christmas trees in the 90s. And now you're year-round agro-tourism and maple and more. Tell us about how your farm stays afloat when it's not Christmas tree cutting season.
I married into the third generation here at Ioka Valley Farm. In 1936, it was bought by the Lieb family primarily as a dairy farm, and we milked all the way till 1996. The diversification into our other activities started prior to that, with the planting of the first Christmas trees in the early 80s. And then our pumpkin season, which is our fall season activities that continues today, the pumpkin patch began in 1989. Then we, again, Christmas trees after Christmas, will quickly pack up all the decorations and we move into our maple sugaring season, which we began in 1992. When we did sell the dairy cattle in 1996, we did renovations in the barn. So now we can offer pancake breakfasts while we are making maple syrup. So people can come and watch us make maple syrup and enjoy a homemade pancake meal with us. And then our summer season offering that we offer to the public is what we call Uncle Don's Barnyard. And that's a petting and play area with a lot of educational signs, activities, and tidbits scattered through, so people can learn a little bit about the farm animals and farming activities and how things grow, with a nice playground and lots of farm animals to visit. And then behind the scenes farming, we still raise beef cattle. We also still grow the corn and hay crops to support that. So we do about 120 acres of hay and about 80 acres of the grain corn to feed the animals and sell the extra that we don't need.
Were you there for the selling of the dairy herds? I'm a little afraid to ask because it's always sad cow stories.
Yes. Yeah, so I began being involved in the family in 1989. So the first little pumpkin patch they offered, I was just joining the family as the girlfriend at the time. So we did. So my husband and I were a part of the evolution. We were married in 94. We reached a crossroad where if we wanted to continue with the dairy herd, we would have had to have doubled in size. Mm-hmm. And we had kind of enjoyed some of the diversification that we started. And we really felt that that deserved more energy and time. As a business plan, we did make the right decision at the right time.
We're speaking with Missy Lieb of Ioka Valley Farm in Hancock and Jacob Nelson of CESA, the local hero folks.
Missy, I think it's interesting that we often think about Christmas trees as one of the last crops in a calendar year that farms are harvesting locally here in the Berkshires and in the valley. And then maple is one of the first crops that you get in the next year, both from trees. But it's cool that you guys are harvesting at the bookend of our calendar year from the woods on your property. And both of those crops you're sharing with people that are visiting you directly and getting to experience where all of that comes from. A lot of what you do is aimed at creating a very family-friendly experience. It's about offering that magic of Christmas in addition to the tree that you take home and decorate.
My mother-in-law probably would have been an excellent school teacher because she started opening the doors as a dairy farm to let children know where milk comes from. So they were always very willing to host groups and to educate about the farming community then. And as we transitioned to each area, we wanted to continue with that because so few children really get hands-on farming experiences anymore. It's a little hard to throw a lot of education in the Christmas part, but you can actually go over and see where the Christmas trees are grown. And it just creates that family time. Between getting the ornament, we give out complimentary popcorn also. And then we have the sale of hot cocoa and cider donuts. So when families come together, they don't need to just grab a tree and go. We offer them the opportunity to pause for a minute. And next weekend is our special for Breakfast with Santa. Santa is able to visit us on one weekend each year, and we serve a simple pancake breakfast to go along with that, and the opportunity for the kids to take pictures and say hi to Santa while they're here.
So cute.
Santa's a busy guy, so yeah, the only one weekend makes sense.
It's a 364-day wind-up.
We're speaking with Missy Lieb of Ioka Valley Farm in Hancock, where you can cut your own Christmas trees. I have some remedial Christmas tree questions that I think people might want to know about. First of all, what kind of trees are you growing there? Because there are different, I don't know if you call them strains or breeds of trees that
breeds
some people
trees.
Like better than others for their own home for different reasons. So what kind do you got there, Missy?
So the varieties we grow are Fraser fir, which is the primary one, the most popular.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have a Canaan fir. And we also do a concolor fir. The concolor fir has a longer needle, and their scent can sometimes be described as a citrusy scent to it instead of just a true evergreen. But the most popular that people seek out is the Fraser. They're a very hardy tree. The needle retention is excellent on the fir trees, so we have moved to just growing those three varieties here.
How long does it take for you to grow a Christmas tree to the point where it's going to be available for sale? Because this is not, cows make milk, and that milk could be available that day, theoretically. That's not the way it works with Christmas trees.
No, it's approximately an 8-year commitment when you go to plant a tree. Some could be ready as early as 6, depending on the size you want. Healthy growing seasons, you tend to grow about a foot a year if growing conditions are ideal. Some years we hit pretty good markers, and other years we have more challenging growing conditions. So to get that every year for 6 or 7 years in a row can be a challenge.
Speaking of adverse growing conditions, do you see the effects the next year of a year that had wildly different climate things happening, kind of like this year with all the floods? What are the effects on a tree farm?
So for the Christmas trees, it sometimes takes a little time to see the true effect of what problems weather can throw at us. Last year, we were dealing with a very significant drought, so we were very concerned about how the trees would hold up being cut for Christmas and being able to be held in your home for 6 or 8 weeks. We seem to fare okay. The flooding, we've been watching for water-related problems like a root rot condition and just excess fungus or moisture issue-related problems. So we keep a close eye on it. We manage what we can manage, but a lot of it is just riding the storm and hoping to minimize whatever loss we might have, because there's approximately a 10% loss that you have from when you plant. That's farmers expect a certain amount of loss, that not every plant you put in is going to make it to the height you want to be a saleable tree.
And Missy, I would love the idea of planting a tree in my yard and letting that grow into a Christmas tree. But I know that if I just planted it there, it probably wouldn't grow into the shape that I am accustomed to seeing a Christmas tree being. And I don't know if I would have the skill to train it to do that. I'm wondering, what do you do to make them look like we imagine them to be?
Every tree does get sheared. Sometimes the little ones, when you first plant, you're going to do minimal trimming because you want them to grow and fill in as heartily as they can. But you're going to want to watch your tops, because sometimes a tree will want to have two or three grow straight up in the air, and you want to train your tree to have just one top. Usually we shear generally around the 4th of July or a little later, after the new growth has come and we're shaping them so they do kind of grow in that triangular, fluffy shape that we all like.
Christmas in July makes a lot more sense now that you're out there in July making the Christmas trees look like Christmas trees. So I've never really understood what Christmas in July was all about, but now it makes total sense.
So we work on soil health and trimming and just watching the health of the trees all year long.
Do you do like garlands and cuttings and things for people to take to do crafts and or do them there at the farm as well?
So we do some wreaths. My daughter makes all our Christmas wreaths that we sell for sale. So she has those available for sale to bring home, and she does have some plain ones, so you can always get one and decorate your own.
Missy Lieb of Ioka Valley Farm in Hancock, I had heard years ago that if you put 7 up in the water of your Christmas tree when it's in your house, that it will hold its needles longer. As a professional Christmas tree grower.
I have heard the same thing about vodka.
Ah, don't waste your vodka now. Water. Oh my God.
It's not a waste of vodka.
Is there any truth to either of these at home, or I guess perhaps legendary ways of keeping your trees holding their needles?
There are tree preservatives that are out there for sale. We find as long as you don't let your bowl of water run dry and the bottom of your tree seals back over, as long as you keep it drinking water, you're going to keep the needle retention either way. And of course, if you don't put it right near a direct heat source, so away from the radiators, away from your wood stove.
So I could hang on to my 7-Up and my vodka and enjoy it separately from my Christmas
tree. Yes. The vodka, I would definitely not even try that, because that does seem like a waste of a good vodka.
There's nothing good about vodka.
The 7-Up, if you want to play with it, you can try it. But yeah, there's some people say putting an aspirin in or some sugar water. There's all different little recipes that you can make your own. We've never personally tried them. We just stand by with hot tap water on the first drink, so it opens up the pores at the bottom of your stump, and then keep your bucket full. And if it happens to dry out on you by mistake, I would restart with another hot water drink to try to open those pores back up again.
That's a good pro tip. I didn't know about hot water, so there we go.
Not boiling hot water, just hot tap water.
Okay, noted.
In general, if you're cutting your own tree from a local farm here in Western Massachusetts too, that's the freshest it's going to be. And that goes the longest way into keeping it fresh and keeping needles on the tree. If you're getting a pre-cut tree from a large farm out of state, I know around here on the East Coast, North Carolina and Michigan and Pennsylvania are some of the states that grow like millions and millions and millions of trees that are cut and shipped to nurseries up here. And some of these farms are so big, they're cutting them in early November or even October. And so cutting your own tree now, a month after that point, means it's going to hold its needles a month longer, perhaps.
Yep. And even if you buy a fresh cut tree from one of your local farm stands, if you can just do a fresh cut on the bottom of that and put in hot tap water, if it's been stored and handled correctly, the tree will drink and the needles will stay.
But if you're going to be a local hero about all of your veggies and cheeses and meats, you might as well be a local hero about your Christmas tree if you're going to get one too, and get it from a local Christmas tree farm, perhaps even Ioka Valley Farm in Hancock. Missy Lieb of Ioka Valley Farm, thank you so much for explaining us the ins and outs of Christmas tree maintenance. They've got a breakfast with Santa this coming weekend on December 2nd And third, you can find out about all of our local heroes and even our other local hero Christmas tree farms by going to buylocalfood.org.
If I could just add one more support for all the local producers out there, not just the Christmas tree piece, but check out their farm stands and the local products that they have. Visit the local farm stands for some unique and local presents to give out at the holidays. In my heart is a Christmas tree.